Blog Talk Radio.
And now, let's go live on YouTube. Good morning to all of our brothers and sisters around the world, wherever you may be. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here with us, walking with us on this path that we walk on.
The world.
See if this guy can be quiet over here. It is Sunday morning, and as we call this program, it's called 1 Hour of Faith. And we welcome you here with us today. It's going to be a good one. Today's subject is walking with God like Peter and Paul.
Well, hallelujah.
Change with the revelation. And this is a very interesting story in the New Testament, but it'll be all right. It's a good one. And thank God for his word that is alive and well and working in our lives right now. You know, as we continually get closer to the end of the age, I mean, we're here. If you watch Brother Amir's post and you watch Mr. Steckelbeck or whatever his name is over there on TBN, they're telling you day by day this thing is playing out. You can just see it right in front of your eyes that we are getting closer. I mean, it's literally true. Jesus can literally come at any moment's notice.
Hallelujah.
At any moment's notice. And you know, when I saw a message today or last night, I keep having this message pop up in front of my YouTube, and so I finally listened to the message, or Leanne and I listened to it last night. It's very interesting because the lady was preaching. She and her husband had literally knocked on every door in their city for three different times of every house in their city, themselves personally, inviting them to church. Now, that's a serious missionary right
there.
That's someone who's serious about helping that community find God. We just want to invite you to our church. I don't know what she said. I don't know what they did. But this is what I do know. When you see the picture of the church, it's a going and blowing, thriving church. Matter of fact, it's the church where Charity Gale goes to church. It's that church.
I want to go there.
Yeah. So the point is this. The closer we get to the end, the more we've got to be willing to speak up for God and be a part of helping people come and find out who are Jesus. Because which of us want to have a family member that ends up eternity without God? No way. No way. I don't want any of my family. I don't want any of my friends. I don't want anybody that I know to end up in a place where they don't know and can't enjoy God. I mean, it's forever. This is not just a message that preachers preach because they don't have anything else to do, and hellfire and brimstone scares people. That's just not what this is about. This is seriously about the fact that eternity is coming. And we've got to truly, truly help everybody around us come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're all about. That's why we do what we do. And, you know, today we're going to teach Peter and Paul. Of course, they were both leaders in the kingdom then. But Peter and Paul at one point had to get together and say, what are we doing? Because Paul looked at Peter and said, you're wrong. And you're taking people back to the old way. And Paul had to say that to Peter because Peter was doing wrong. Peter was teaching people that they had to be circumcised. And they were going back to the ways of Judaism. And Paul's like, you can't do that, Peter. And withstood him to his face publicly in front of the church.
Oh, that would be a terrible rebuke, wouldn't it? But they all needed to know.
But here's the reality. Life happened after that. And Peter no longer, because it was just pressure from the Jews is all it was.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about that this morning, and then we'll receive communion. And we'll have a great time together today in Jesus' mighty name. Let me do one more thing. I got to get everybody in the right spot. And I've lost the YouTubers again. It's just not a good idea to lose the YouTubers. Well, not quite sure how that's going to work out. So we're going to go like this. There it is. Well, so open up your Bible, if you will, with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. It's good to have you guys with us over here on Zoom, Sister Rebecca, Sister Sunday. Hopefully you got your favorite cup of warm Sunday morning drinking with you. Coffee, tea, water, whatever you like. Maybe you like a hot cup of Jell-O. It's real easy to just say coffee because that's what a lot of people drink. But, you know, we got to keep going. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. And let's we got for time here. We might as well just read this chapter. Sister Phyllis isn't here to read the whole chapter, but we might as well just do it anyway. We don't need Sister Phyllis with us to do what's right. Amen? There we go. Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession about the Word of God today. Galatians chapter 1 is where we're going. Galatians chapter 1 is where we're going. Say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am.
Because He is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher.
The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher.
Is making this Word come alive in my life.
Is making this Word come alive in my life.
I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of God.
And plant Him as a seed.
Plant Him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my
producing
heart. Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Walking with God like Peter and Paul, changing with the revelation. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leadership. Chapter Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. If you're an apostle, it's not because you bought a letterhead and some fancy envelopes and got a business card. If you're an apostle, it's a fivefold ministry gift that Jesus, the head of the church, gives out as a sent one. Paul is an apostle by Jesus Christ. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice, almost every beginning of Paul's letters that came by the Holy Spirit began with grace to you and peace. What is the Holy Spirit telling us? It's not Paul telling us. It's what the Holy Spirit is telling us in every letter. You need grace and peace to be your guide. Grace to you and peace. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. And if you notice how Paul starts every letter by the Holy Spirit, it's grace and peace, and it's always going to talk about Jesus' blood and righteousness, the will of the Father. Why? Because you got to continually establish that in your life every single day. It's the greatest revelation you have. Hold it. I don't have anything because of me. I have everything I have because of Jesus' blood and his righteousness that I get to live in. And because I was willing to take his blood, receive his righteousness, change my life, now God, by the Holy Spirit, will come and live on the inside. This is the greatest power that you will ever find in your life on any day that you live. Now comes the interesting part of this letter. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Did you notice that he didn't say you're turning away from what I taught you? He said, you're turning away from him. Let me stretch over here and get my pen. You're turning from him. This gospel isn't Paul's, not Peter's, it's not mine. It's Jesus' gospel. What 7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. That's a pretty big word, pervert. But what does it mean? It doesn't mean a sexually immoral person like it means today. It means twisted. It means to twist. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Angel from heaven, from God's heaven, teaching you a false doctrine. You might get an angel from the heavenlies realm, which is a deceiving spirit. Keep going. 9, as we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. 11, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Say it with me. I received the revelation of Jesus Christ.
I received the revelation of Jesus
Christ. Amen. 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 For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with the flesh and blood. Nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. Where did I go? Don't look away. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. I wonder if he took a vow.
Maybe.
You're gonna hear me stop and pause and just ask the question. I wonder if he took a vow. So here's what Paul just said in 17. When God said, "Hey, Paul, you and I are coming face to face. You're either going to die today on the road to Damascus, or you're going to change." And Paul said, "Who are you, Lord? I change. Help me know what to do." And so when that happened, Paul preached a little bit in the cities there where he was at. He was by Damascus and everything. But then he left those men because they were threatening to kill him. The people of Judaism were threatening to kill him because they didn't want him speaking against them. And so he left. And Paul went into Arabia, into the desert. Now watch what this says. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. So after Paul's experience on the road to Damascus, he went into the wilderness for 3 years to be trained by God.
Wow.
And when you look at that verse, verse 12, the revelation of Jesus Christ, Jesus met him in the wilderness and taught him for 3 years. Now, if it takes 3 years to get rid of all the junk, you better spend 3 years getting rid of all the junk. Amen. Welcome.
Amen.
Welcome back, Sunday. We're glad to have you with us, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good to have you with us.
Roger just walked in.
And Brother Roger, good to have you with us this morning. Good morning, sir. Can we get a great amen or something?
A great amen.
Amen. Love you, brother. Now, I'm in verse 18, Galatians 1, 18. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. You notice Paul was in the wilderness 3 years with Jesus and 15 days with Peter. That's the right amount of time. Okay. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. Now, let's look at this real quick. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Go left to Acts chapter 9. This is where Paul comes face to face with Jesus on the Damascus Road. And then let's read Acts chapter 9. Let's go to... Well, I better read 10, and we'll probably go down to, 30 or something, 31. We'll go down here somewhere. 30-ish. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here am I, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, choir at the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Are you open to God to speak to you through dreams and visions? Say this with me. Father, speak to me through dreams and visions.
Father, speak to me through dreams and visions.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. The Lord said to him, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Holy Spirit is speaking, the Lord is speaking by the Spirit to Ananias and said, he has chosen to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. 16, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way, entered the house, laying his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, he went from saying, Lord, this man's persecuting us, to when he laid hands on him, he called him Brother Saul. Isn't that an interesting thing? 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Now, I want you to think about this. On that day, Ananias had a choice of whether he was going to grow in God or stay where he was. Because he had grown and developed in God, grown and developed in God, grown and developed in God. And God looked all over the city of Damascus and said, I wonder who I should get today to go help Paul receive his sight. And he called on a disciple, not a pastor, not a prophet, not an apostle, not an evangelist. He called on a disciple, Ananias. Ananias had a chance that day to grow and develop in God and go to a whole new level in God. Why? Because Father showed up by Jesus through the Spirit and said, go do this for me. Ananias had obviously listened to the Lord so well that God could say to him, I want you to go to a street called Straight. Let me read it here. Verse 11, go to the street called Straight. I am at the house of Judas for a man named Saul of Tarsus. There's three very specific instructions that he saw in this vision. And he was able to go to the street called Straight, find the house of Judas, and ask for Saul of Tarsus. So Ananias, as a disciple, had the opportunity to step up and do a new thing in God. All of us have those opportunities throughout our life, all through our life. God has always given us the opportunity to step up. But will we step up into the things of God and go to that next level, or will we stay back in our comfort zone where we're not doing something that we're not comfortable with? Because God wants us stepping up and stepping out. Verse 20, immediately Paul preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. 3 days ago, Paul was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. 3 days later, he's in the synagogue saying to everybody, everything I said to all y'all, it ain't true. Jesus is the Son of God.
Well, can you imagine?
3 days. Can you imagine the people in the synagogue? They're just looking at him.
What?
And as we see in the ministry of Jesus, as we're doing Read the Word right now, they sat in the synagogue and said, we're going to kill you. While Jesus is preaching the word of life to them, they're sitting there looking at him going, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. They left. They were like, let's be more determined than ever to kill him. Why? Right while Jesus was presenting to them the truth, there was people sitting in front of him that not only said, I disagree with you, They didn't even care a word he said. They sat there and said, I'm going to find a way to kill this man.
Yeah.
That's messed up. Mm-hmm. But wait, that's the spirit of religion. And it is the prevailing spirit in many churches in the United States of America and around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have to drive that spirit out. I got to keep, huh?
Yeah. And when you, as believers, suspect that that's what somebody is dealing with in their own life, don't be afraid, even silently, to bind and cast that spirit out of them and loose the ability to have their eyes of understanding open.
Yeah.
To Jesus.
And don't be friends. Don't be close friends with those people.
Oh, no.
Because they will destroy your faith.
Mm-hmm.
They will. Anytime there's anyone who starts to build a group of people together against one of God's leaders, you don't want to be a part of that. You are marked in heaven as a person that's causing division.
Yeah.
And if you don't agree with what somebody teaches, then just go away and go away silently. And don't take anybody with you. And don't say anything. Why? Because you get God against you.
Yeah.
And you heap up on yourself many, 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 many troubles.
Yeah, isn't that listed as one of his abominations, someone who sows discord among the brethren?
It's an abomination when you sow discord amongst the brethren. Are we happy?
Let me just say, no.
in this day that we live, this is going to become one of the most destructive sins of the church. Because after COVID, there's not very many game-playing churches left. They closed because people are too afraid to go to them. So they can't make it, and they close. So what's left? Preachers with fire in their belly who have a call of God and know it, and they're going to preach the truth. Well, now the enemy, he no longer has buildings where people can go and just be lulled to sleep. Because if you're going to go and be lulled to sleep, you're still scared of getting the bug, and you're scared of people. And you and I got to be willing to be on the cutting edge and out there doing the work of God. Anyways, don't hang around with those who cause division, because God calls it an abomination of those who sow discord amongst the brethren. You may not agree. You may say, I don't want to walk with that guy anymore. Walk away. Be quiet. Leave. Go by yourself. Don't take people with you. And just do it. And you go be yourself. And leave in peace. I mean, there's nothing wrong with leaving in peace.
Right.
You're going to see it here in just a minute. If I can stop talking and just read the Bible. 21. I'm in Acts 9:21. Then all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And has he come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. What happened? Paul got revelation and changed immediately. That is our challenge in this day. God is not slack on giving us revelation. We're slack on grabbing a hold of it and saying, I'm going to grab it. I'm going to go do it. And I'm going to be like what you want me to be, Jesus. And having no fear of who don't go with us or who don't believe like us. When Jesus gives you a revelation, you got to move with it. And you can't be concerned about the people that don't have the revelation. They're going to stand in front of Jesus and be like, sorry. And he's going to say, you saw Brother Roger, Sister Rebecca, Sister Sunday go, why didn't you go? Wait, see, this is the seriousness of this moment we're in right now in the church. Because in the last day, the only thing that's going to give you any strength is one fire-packed, sold-out, Holy Ghost-filled preaching machine. Whether it's a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. What's going to matter is, do they have the fire of God and the word of God on their lips? Are they walking in the Holy Spirit? Because that's what this comes down to. Can you be led by the Spirit and follow after him? Oh, Jesus, help me just read the word. Somebody say, let's read the word. Can we just read the word?
Well, let's read the word.
Let's speak more.
The message is
word.
Good too. Amen, Roger.
Amen, Roger. Here we go. 23. After many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill Saul. It sounds like a standard operating procedure.
It does.
But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down through the wall in a large basket, and said, you hit the road, Jack. 26. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Yeah, probably so.
Yes, they were.
Excuse me. Are you Saul of Tarsus? Yes. Peter, do you still have that sword? And watch. And they did not believe he was a disciple. 27. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared to them how he'd seen the Lord on the road, that he'd spoken to him, how he'd preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out that they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus, and they tried to kill him. What are you going to see here? All the way through history, when God's got a man or a woman who stand boldly, the enemy wants to kill them.
Yeah.
Every great prophet, every man of God. And so what's God looking for? God's looking for people like you and me that will stand for the truth. And when we see more truth, stick with the truth, not with our old religious ways. 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. They were built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Why? Well, Saul of Tarsus, who was killing them, now has been changed and has come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen, Rebecca. I just spoke a prayer come true. Well, type it out. Or just tell us about it out loud here in a couple minutes when we're finished. Glory be to God. I love it when things are coming to pass. Now, the church prospers. Now, let's go back to, we're going to go back to Galatians now. Everybody. Galatians chapter 2. I'm just looking at something here in Acts while you guys are all going. Galatians 2 is hard, difficult to find sometimes. So I figured I would just look at something else in Acts while you are on your way to Galatians chapter 2. All right. Whoops, that's not Galatians. Where do you go? There it is. Galatians chapter 2. Now,
while you're looking for Galatians, let me read this definition of perverse, too. We were saying it was twisted.
All right.
This is the modern day. Of a person or their actions showing a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable, often in spite of the consequences. It's contrary to the accepted or expected standard or practice.
Wow.
So there's just the expansion of the word twisted, and it is wow. Wow.
Twisted or perverted? Which was the one you...
Perverse.
Perverse. Yeah. Wow.
Which is... Twisted is the definition, but this is just the expanded of twisted. And wow, this is a perverse generation.
This is a perverse generation that even looking at it, knowing the destruction that it brings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how anybody...
Just to be contrary.
I don't know how anybody, unless they got their... But you don't have your head in the sand if you're... If they're being forced into this change your sexuality, you cannot have your head in the sand and only be talking to one person.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be online seeing it. And I don't know how you cannot see that there are people out there who say, my whole life has been destroyed. I just saw an article, one lady, young lady who had begun to go that way, and they told her to go to a counselor at school, and that specific counselor was designed to groom them kids into getting sex changes, mutilate their body and everything. And so, somehow she just kept going in the right direction, not the wrong one, all the way through.
Thank you, Lord.
And she woke up one day and said, I'm so glad I didn't have a mastectomy like they were telling me to have.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's on Tucker Carlson was the one that was doing it. And Tucker just sat there like his face just fell. Tucker's a powerful Christian,
mm-hmm.
and he's got his own kids. And to think that these people are actually telling our children to physically deform their body. But you got to realize this is run by a demon,
mm-hmm.
Baal, that wants blood. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
And it's not the norm. It's not the majority. They're just loud on the media.
They're just loud, yes.
And you and I have got to become louder.
Yeah.
That one brought up another one, and it was a video of a lady at a school board meeting with the textbook in her hand and calling them perverts. I mean, she called them every name in the book that's the actual name of who these people are. She said, this school board, you're grooming our kids to be sexually perverse. You're grooming them to have their bodies deformed. And she called them every vile name that they deserve. And she said, you look at me and say whatever you want, but I'm not going to use your words. I'm going to use the real words. You're vile, and you're the school board, and you're protecting it, and I will not back down. Sue me. I got lawyers. Well, of course, she's on Tucker Carlson saying it, and the whole world now sees, better watch out because we're coming for you. And you are nothing but a bunch of perverts, a bunch of perverse, twisted, vile. Even when you can see the truth, people, you better change your way.
Yeah.
Read the Bible.
All right, here we go. Galatians 2.
Galatians chapter 2, verse number 1.
All right.
14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, also took Titus with me. I went up by revelation and communicated to them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those of who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was it compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because a false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Guys, I'm reading this out of the Bible. Mm-hmm. They're doing this on purpose. Remember what Ephesians chapter 4 says? They do this by deception. How does it say it? Ephesians 4? What's it say here? By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Right? So that's what Paul just said. This occurred because the false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour. Paul's like, I'm not going there. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. God don't care what your title is. If you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong. For those who seem to do something to do, those who seem to be something added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was committed to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go on to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. So they had a meeting and they talked about their doctrine. And then Barnabas went with Paul and Titus. Now, verse 11, here comes the fun part. When Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. If you've done wrong, you deserve to be withstood to your face. Before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Don't do that. If you're you, be you. And be you wherever you are you. The rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Guys, this that I'm reading is the word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. God did not hide this from everybody to see. Why? Because every one of us are going to face this in one way or another. We're going to have people look at us and say, and we're going to be like, wait, did you not see the revelation that's in this? I'm not staying bound with you. I'm going on to perfection. I'm going in. I'm going up. I'm going to go in God to the place where he wants me to go. Amen. 13. The rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? That's hypocrisy. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even when we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. There is no value in cutting it off.
Amen.
Well, there's a cleanliness value, but I mean, there was no spiritual value. Wow. 17. If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Wow, there it is right there. If I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Wow. 19. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Hallelujah.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Look how straight Paul's being. I do not set aside the grace of God. He is talking face to face with Peter. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Your outward actions of righteousness are of no value to your eternal destiny. Righteousness doesn't come from how you dress, what you eat or don't eat. Righteousness comes from faith in Jesus' work and faith in his righteousness. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That's a pretty powerful word.
Yeah.
That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, obviously by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and who works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, when you actually read the Bible, it's not hard to understand it and believe it. But when I, as a preacher, just give you one or two or three verses and say, here, believe these, I'm literally hiding the truth from you. And I can't do that. And I will never do that. I don't care how big the following is. I'm not about numbers. I'm going to preach the gospel Jesus gives me, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to help everybody get free from the religious rules and restrictions that man has put on them.
Amen.
Anyone in the Christian life who wants to consecrate themselves to God for a purpose of entering in closer to him, that is very much the word of God. But that consecration is between you and God. That's not for you to put on anybody else.
Amen.
Right now, Sister Leanne and I are studying the Nazarite vow and the effect it had throughout history of the church. It's pretty amazing, man. Place that the Nazarites had all through history.
Yeah.
And yet, that's a pretty serious commitment. These people were so serious, they would, if their mom and dad died while they were under a Nazarite vow, they wouldn't even go to the funeral.
Was it they just wouldn't touch dead bodies?
No, you couldn't even be there.
Oh.
Couldn't even be there. Because then it says in the Bible, because then you would sin against your vow.
Yeah, I do remember reading that.
But wait, I'm not putting that on anybody. And that's the point of what Paul is saying here is, wait a minute, no matter what your level of consecration is going to be to God, you got to keep that to yourself. And you don't have to keep being circumcised over and over. There's only so much flesh that can be cut off.
Right.
Excuse me if you think that's a little brash. I don't mean it to be brash, but that's why Paul said in one verse, beware of the mutilators. Because that's what they were telling them. Galatians 3:6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, therefore we know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Just like Abraham didn't have a Bible, he didn't have a church, he didn't have nothing. God showed up and said, would you walk with me? Yeah. I will. All right. Pack up and leave. And you don't know where I'm going, but just pack up and leave. Sir, yes, sir, and off they went. Next morning. Verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now, what are you showing us, Pastor? In this last day that we live right now, there's going to be a whole bunch of religious indoctrination that's going to fall and crumble and be left as a bunch of dust and ashes on the ground. And everybody's going to walk by and look at it like, well, there wasn't much to that, was there? The number one thing that's going to happen is that when people refuse to move on in God, that group of believers is going to die. You know, somebody could say amen or get up and run around the house, but it's not, this is not that kind of a message to happen. But this is literally what we're seeing happen all over the world right now. The people that were playing games in the church have done one of two things after the pandemic. Totally accepted mentality and now have their whole church full of perverse, wicked, absolutely sexually vile people, and they just filled the church with that. So you know that church, what that church is, that's just wicked, perverse, don't go there. And then the other ones that didn't do that, they had to close. And what's left is the fire-baptized preaching machines of gatherings of believers who say, we're going to go and grow in God. Now, there's some of these places that were very religiously indoctrinated, but somehow on the inside of them, that pastor's looked and said, no, we're going on in God. We're not sucked in this woke. We are awake unto righteousness, not awoke unto that perversion.
Amen.
And they're going on in. And you know, this is a series we're in. Walking with God like. Well, this is a very important part of our lives. And that is, like Peter and Paul, change with the revelation. When you see the revelation in front of you, you got to let go of that old crusty doctrine that somebody taught you that doesn't have any life in it. And you're going to say, well, Pastor, how in the world do I do that? That means you're going to have to get this book open and get your app open and say, what does the Bible actually say about righteousness, which I just showed you how to do it for the last 14 days of this teaching on this program. I didn't just say to do it. I did it as an example in front of you. And the revelation every night has come to us. Some of us are still saying, scratch my head, oh Lord, help me. Help me get this. There was a couple nights in there that it felt like this is so strange to me. I don't even know how to receive it. But isn't it something that what was strange was not my preaching? Because all I was doing was reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Bible is what seems strange. You know why? Because we were given one verse here, one verse there, one verse there, and they pulled that string together and they said, therefore believe this doctrine. And I don't believe many of them did it on purpose. Secular humanism comes in and is doing its best to get us to change this doctrine into a me gospel, where I take this Bible and make it about me so I can build me and I can promote me and I can become a better me. And what does it do? It turns it all to the human. Rather than say, what does this Bible say? I am going to do what that Bible says. I'm going to follow the leaders who are turning this world upside down. Whether the rest of the world criticizes them and condemns them or not, I'm going to follow the leaders who are turning this world upside down, because that is what we're going to do.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. The law brings a curse. Now remember, this is what Peter is confronting, or Paul's confronting Peter on. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you violated one of those laws out of all 613 of them, you were guilty of all of them. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord.
Verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus took the curse of the law once for all, so that it was removed, and all we had to do was receive him. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Anybody know where Hebrews went? Hebrews chapter 4. Now watch this. I'm just going to begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. Not be afraid. God don't want a bunch of fraidy cats. God wants us to live in awesome respect, saying, wait, I got to get into this. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. The word which they heard did not profit them. They were sitting where the message was being preached. It was out of the Bible, but it did not profit them. It brought them no gain inside of their being. Because not being mixed with faith and those who heard it. So what is the mixer that makes hearing turn into faith and helps us grow to the next level? You and I receiving it by faith, saying, I receive it, I accept it, and I choose to grow in it. Now, you might say, Pastor, woo! What are we doing? We're growing in God. For we who believe do enter that rest. As he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Who? Those who did not believe. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day, and in this place, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some may enter in, must enter in, and there, those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now wait. I can preach. I like to preach. But if you don't get the word of God when I preach, what good is it doing me to be passionate and fiery and on fire and preach with zeal if we don't get what the word is actually saying to us? Yeah. We've got to open up this book. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of unbelief. We've got to be diligent. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. There remains a rest. And my Bible says, let us therefore be diligent. The King James says, let us labor to enter into the rest.
Remains therefore a rest for the people of God.
There remains a rest. Mm-hmm. And then he says, labor to enter the rest.
Yeah.
You guys say, well, that don't even make sense. It does, because it takes work to enter into the rest. You have to work out your salvation. You have to. You have to work at this. It takes work to get it to happen. And what's the work? Open the Bible, get the verses, and then believe what the verses say. Let's take, for example, throughout this last 2 weeks as I've been teaching, some of the most important verses to get established in your life are Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, because that's the five times that the Holy Spirit says it's a free gift of righteousness. So you got to get that down inside of your life. And then Hebrews chapter 9, the whole chapter talks about the blood of Jesus being better than the blood of bulls and goats. And the blood of Jesus purges your conscience from dead works so that you can serve the living God. Now, well, then what was all the other verses that we read? They were all the foundation verses of God that helps to explain why we stand on these specific verses. It was very interesting. This lady that had this prophecy about Michigan, Barbara Yoder, I listened to the whole message that she preached that in their church that day. All right, it was a complete message. And between the worship and the prophecy and the man who preached, she had a time talking about church things. Received the offering, and this class is coming, and that, you know, this is what we're all doing. Everybody come be a part. And one of the things she said is, I had a staff meeting and asked them all to tell me the foundation doctrines of the faith. And she said, we have good staff, and they've been believers for 20 years, most of them. And she said, nothing wrong with their Christian life, but they could not tell me what those six foundation doctrines were that they're supposed to have. She said, and the fact that everybody just looked at me says, wait, nothing wrong with you. We've got to teach this again, the foundation doctrines of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where you and I have been. And when you go to Hebrews chapter 6, which is just the next page where we're at right here, it says in verse 1, let us go on to perfection. The number one thing of your Christian life is, I'm going to walk with God every day, and he loves me so much, he's not going to let me stay like I am. So he's going to be moving you to another level in him. What is it going to do? It's going to show you another whole level of his love, his mercy, his grace, his faith, and what he put in you to use to change this world. Let us go on to perfection. Well, what do you have to do? You got to lay the foundation. Repentance from dead works. Okay? That's what we've been talking about. Faith toward God. The doctrine of baptisms. The laying on of hands. The resurrection from the dead. Eternal judgment. And I'm not of the people that count the first one as part of it, but there's a lot of people that say there's seven foundation doctrines, and that is, you got to have a foundation. Right. But it's okay. I even was a part of a class once that had 10 foundations of faith. And you don't find them there, but you find them throughout the New Testament. Here's the point. If you can't quote a verse about each of these, how build your foundation better? Why? Because in order to go out this door and win these people that's in this building, I've got to know who I am in Jesus. Not who I am in my church, because, wow, glory, hallelujah, they make me feel good when I go there. which is what establishing your faith. And this ministry is all about the community of faith. It's continually, every day, giving you another message on faith, another message on where can we go in God. Help us, Lord, step up, stand up, and become the better people that you want us to be. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus,
now,
name.
Verse number 16. Wait. Hebrews 4, 11, 12, and 16. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the joints and the marrow, the spirit and the soul, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, people get afraid of going into a new part of the word because it reveals what's in your heart. Well, that's the whole purpose of it, to get you free. And you'll no longer be bound or offended or hurt or mean or nasty or lost or confused. Why? Because God, by his word, showed you what's in your heart. And you say, well, I don't want that. I know you don't want it, son. That's why I showed it to you. Take the word, get it out, and now you're free. And you're like, whoa, Jesus. And the next time somebody preaches about it, you're like, wow, thank you, Jesus. You set me free from that. That no longer has any bands around me. I'm no longer chained to that old thing, and I'm free. But there's a lot of people, when they start reading the Bible, that starts showing them their heart, and then they put the Bible down because they don't want to see it anymore. Are you kidding? Open the Bible up and let God just pour in his love, mercy, grace, and word, and totally transform you into that new creation. 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In the time of need. This is what God wants you and I to do, is not be afraid of his throne room, not be afraid of his word, not be afraid of his spirit, and not be afraid to change. Just change. Just tell him, Lord, help me change. Lord, help me change. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, you ready? Let's sing a song. And you can turn your mics on and sing it with me if you want to. But it's going to be our closing of the word and entering into the communion elements. It's one of our favorite songs we sing here. You ready? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be that living sanctuary for you, Lord, prepare me to be the sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be that living sanctuary for you. Father, thank you. Thank you that all you want from us any day is that we would walk with you. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit said, that I might know him, Jesus. And then you came to live within us. And you choose to walk with us every day of our life. I bless my brothers and my sisters. I bless them. I bless them to see and know the truth in you. Thank you that you love us so much that you won't let us stay where we are. But you take us from glory to glory. You take us from faith to faith. You take us from this grace to the next one. And you move us up and you move us on. And you help us conquer our Canaan land and be found walking with you and changing our world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Well, what's next is we'll receive communion. Brother Roger, you got a great amen?
A great amen.
Love it.
Amen and amen and amen. The great amen. Now, I'm going to go there again today because I'm building this thought process in us. And that's Luke chapter 22, where Jesus is receiving the Passover with the disciples. I love to be able to say this. The last Passover ever necessary.
Hallelujah.
Now, there's many people that have done the biblical Passover like it was done in the Bible since Jesus took this with the disciples. But none of them were important because he did away. He ended that old covenant, and he started the new within about 12 hours of when they had this Passover. 16, whatever it was. One day later, Jesus was in the tomb, and he had already made the declaration, it is finished. And it was finished forever. Luke chapter 22:14. When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And they're all sitting there, you know. We want to do it with you too, Jesus. And by the way, it's pretty amazing. You told us that guy was carrying a pitcher and he was there. And we followed him and then we walked up here and look, he had this whole room ready for us. Because that's what some of them were thinking. They were the ones that had gone and prepared that room for him. And isn't it something that he had just said that to him? And they walked up there and there it was and there it was done. No matter what you need in your life to get the work of God done, it will come to you. Just got to hear what he says. 16, I say to you, I'll no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took the cup and gave thanks and he said, take this, divide it among yourself. For I say to you, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm getting a whole lot of tabs that I got to have so I can just flip immediately. But I love it. You know what that means? That means this book is becoming my life. And that's what must be for every one of us. Verse 20, this is 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, would not be judged. The whole main important thing is that you and I would judge ourselves. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness. When? In the day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is right now, so are we in this world. Isn't that awesome to get? That he's the head and we're the body. Help us, Lord, to go and do and reach people all over. Perfect love cast out fear. And the torment, the trauma that goes with it. There is no fear in love. And there's no fear in the communion elements. Matter of fact, Jesus, with fervent desire, meets with us right here, right now, longing to have this time of communion with him. Just stay with me. Just close your eyes and lift your hands up and say, I long to take this with you, Jesus.
I long to take this with you, Jesus.
And thank you that you desire to take it with me.
And I thank you that you desire to take it with me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Now, what's important when you come to the communion elements, that every one of us search ourselves. That's what 28 says. Let a man examine himself. So you ready? We're going to pray the prayer of salvation, where we reach out to Jesus and say, I receive you in my life. And I receive all of everything you are. No matter who you are that's with us, if you pray this prayer of acceptance of Jesus, you will be right with God and ready to receive these new elements. Ready? Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for them.
Now, make a strong declaration. I believe you are the Son of God, Jesus.
I believe you are the Son of God, Jesus.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all of the fullness of God.
With all of the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Now you want to pray another prayer? Say this with me. Father, I forgive everybody.
Father, I forgive everybody.
Of everything.
Of everything.
So that my life is right with you.
So that my life
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
The great amen.
The great amen. See, now what have we just done? We've just laid that path right here according to the Bible. Let a man examine himself and then let him eat of the bread. That's the whole process. Many churches have said for years, if you sin, don't go near the communion elements. Are you kidding me? That's where you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of that. When you sin, you come to the communion elements. Examine yourself. Pray. Talk to God about that sin. And then you need his broken body and his blood shed. He just filled you with all of his grace, mercy, love, and righteousness because you said, fill me. He comes in by his blood, washes away every sin, and makes you a new creation. How amazing is that? And then he fills you with his Holy Spirit and you get to walk with him every day. He comes and he lives in here. The Holy Spirit of God is our teacher. He lives in here, guiding us from the inside out. And all we got to do is learn to hear him speaking in here. Learn what his guidance sounds like, feels like, acts like, responds to us. And then we will always walk in the path of righteousness and we'll never be out of order with God. That's pretty amazing. That's really amazing. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty
name. Now, if you're brand new to the kingdom, you might say, I don't know, what are we going to, how do I do this, Pastor? Well, I've got 10 verses that are verses you got to get in you. And this last 14 days of video are great videos for you to learn from. What are they? The very foundation doctrines of the Word of God read right from God's holy word. I've got some other videos I'll be glad to send you and help you walk in the path of righteousness. And what the vision that God's given me is to take all of our teachings, break them down in 30-minute segments, and give you a class in 30-minute segments where you can study and the foundation doctrines are established in your life to a great degree. And we want you to be a part of it. Like, subscribe, and ring the bell, and we'll be glad to help you walk with God. You'll always know where we are. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Let's receive the communion elements together. Ready? Let's bless them. And then we'll receive. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Those of you that are online, you're welcome to say it with us if you want to. Because I like the sound of church. You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am
healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken since you came into my life.
There's nothing missing and nothing broken since you came into my life.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive it together. The broken body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. for your body, which is broken, and gave us access to enter in and become the body of Christ. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Every statement we're getting ready to make is right out of a verse of scripture about his blood. So not only say it, but listen and receive it. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
Passed away.
And behold, all things have become new.
And behold, all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of God.
Because my Father told me to.
Because my Father told me to.
I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment.
I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment.
While I'm here on this earth.
While I'm here on this earth.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren every day.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren every day.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
And my robes are made white.
And my robes are made white.
I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Or any other blemish.
Or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for
me. In the rapture of the church.
In the rapture of the church.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive. The blood of Jesus.
Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Lord.
Now we heard another song about the blood. What was it? Is that Lou Engel's big meeting, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. All right, everybody, just do like this. You're enjoying the song with me. I can't sing it, but you're enjoying it. Just enjoy it in the spirit. And then it's only 7 hours long. Just go there and help me find exactly where that song is about the blood. But what it says is it speaks a better word. The blood of Jesus is still speaking. It's still moving. It's still doing the work.
Amen.
That it's always been doing. You ready? Let's sing, What Can Wash Away My Sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus works in our life.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Brother Roger, love you, man.
Love you too. God bless you both in the community of faith.
And you too.
And you too, man.
God bless you as you go to the hospital to minister to your friend.
Amen. Father, bless the believers who are with us all over the world. I can see that there was a number of you with us today on YouTube. Thank you for being there with us. Anybody sign in that we see? All right. All right? It's what we know. This word is transforming your life.
Amen.
Shoot us an email. Ask us a question. It doesn't matter. You might even ask the same question. It doesn't matter. We're not ashamed of where you are in God. We love to see you grow. And that's how growth happens, is you ask a question, and then you begin to apply the word of God in that area. All of our friends on Blog Talk Radio, wherever you are around the world, welcome. My email address is right there in the notes of every one of these programs. Shoot me an email from anywhere in the world and say, Pastor, I'm here. This is where we're at. And we will be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. It's been a great 2 weeks that we have been studying the righteousness of God and the blood of Jesus. The most foundation of your Christian life. And so I encourage you. A week ago, Friday night, no, 2 weeks ago on Friday night, which would have been the, what would have been, 7th?
Yeah.
6th, 7th?
First.
The first Friday night?
Oh, yeah, 7th.
7th? Start there, October 7th, and then follow it all the way through. If you get to one of them and it doesn't have a timestamp where the message begins, put one in. Make a comment. Put the timestamp in there, and you put one in. And that way it helps other people be there. And any way that we can help you walk with God, we're going to do that in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we have to say. May God bless your Sunday with his abundant blessing.
Amen.
We love you.
We love you.
We do.
We do.
Even if we forget how to say it. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. You're supposed to say it with us, Roger.